The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at A.J. is the real. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at producer T. Scott. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you're so inclined, you can watch us on live stream. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on watch us on live stream. Missed the first hour. You missed a lot of sports, a lot of talk about the game last night, some of the other games. Had Josh Jordan in here to talk about his new show that's starting on Sunday with Jerry Bow at 10 o'clock. And AJ made fun of Holly.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the first hour. So
a couple notes on the, we talked about the protesting thing. Keep in mind, there were literally two players from one team who kneeled. It wasn't like a league wide issue.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it's very sparse.
But anytime one person does, I mean, that's the whole story now, AJ. It's who stood and who didn't.
Right. But, and also keep in mind, and I may have misspoke when I said it, they're not protesting the national anthem. There's not like, these players aren't like, oh, I don't want to hear this song anymore. They are just using that time to silently protest for their issue, their cause. And then someone pointing out that midterms are nearing, that this yeah. is a hot button topic for Republicans. And this is something that that they think will actually get Republicans out to vote is players kneeling. Which is crazy to me that would like get like I wasn't gonna vote, but if they're kneeling, I gotta get out there and cast my ballot. That seems crazy to me, but I guess that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just that's important. You're right. The midterms are going to be a big deal this time, and you know, I'm sure anything you can do to fire up the base, that's what you should do.
Yep.
Did I miss you guys talking about starting Texans tight end Brian Griffin? Yeah, you did. We got into all the things that were not good about the broadcast we talked about. Rob Gray just signed a contract with the Rockets.
Oh, nice.
So, don't know if he'll make the team, but
I
kind of doubt it.
But I would doubt it, but hey.
Good for him.
Indeed. One other thing we didn't really get to talk about, but I was interested to discuss was the tight end play in yesterday's game, and in particular that of Jordan Akins, who, you know, caught two passes and both of them went for touchdowns. That's always a good thing.
It's a pretty good percentage.
But it's starting to look like the rookie tight ends, they'd look serviceable, right?
Yeah.
Are you still worried about this position going into the season? Like, is it a...
Well, I don't know yet until we see what they can do on the field, but... It's not like they had much there to begin with. It wouldn't be hard for those guys to come in and be effective.
Well, I think, I mean, if let's say we draw the baseline at you lost C.J. Fedorowicz, you would ideally like someone to be better than him. And I think they're still looking for someone to do that. And I don't know if these guys are that. I don't know if Jordan Thomas or Jordan Akins or... man, I'll tell you who keeps going the wrong way is Steven Anderson. I remember his first training camp. We were like, man, this guy might actually be a playmaker. And then he's just incredibly inconsistent. And obviously Ryan Griffin will likely be the number one tight end when the season starts. But at least with these two, I mean, with Akins, I mean, he looked good last night, and you look at Jordan Thomas and that guy just looks like, you know,
well, they both looked the part, you know,
if Jordan Thomas is a physical freak.
Yeah. And I've been hearing a lot of good things about Akins in practice. that he's been looking terrific and looking like a guy who could contribute. But, you know, that now that they'll be in town, I'm going to get out there and see it for myself. But I've heard a lot of good things about him. And he's an older guy, so he should, you know, he should be farther along in his development. And, you know, if he can be, you know, just be a better Ryan Griffin. I mean, made a nice catch on both of those balls. I'd like to see more targets, and maybe we will moving forward, because those are guys you want out there in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, I want that guy catching balls, getting open, seeing what he can do blocking. And he seemed to block pretty well the time he was out there too. So another position that maybe I don't feel as bad about. The offensive line, I still think I need to see a lot more. But running back, I'm still concerned about. So nothing's really changed there.
Yeah.
They got a lot of good linebackers too. So they're pretty good at that position. Hey, Lamont's on the line. Let's get Lamont on. What's up, Lamont?
So you want to talk Texans?
He wants to talk Texans.
Oh, man. There's an energy in the
Blitz,
air.
Fellas. Blitz, say, man, Bill O'Brien is one of the only coaches I know that I find myself getting mad at him in retrospect. When I go back and think of the things that he's done in the past, and what I'm going to is, I was looking at Whedon last night. Can you guys justify in your mind right now why Whedon was not even a factor last year? And we actually seen that dude play. He's clearly better than Savage. Would you guys disagree with me on that?
No, and we said as much last year. Yeah. I said why are they even continuing to carry Tom Savage when Brandon Whedon is clearly a better player? So we talked about that a lot last year. I thought Brandon Whedon should have been the number two guy, and really when Deshaun Watson went down, I thought Brandon Whedon should have been the guy. So
they wound up cutting him last year.
Yeah, they moved on from him.
Yeah,
and then they realized the error of their ways, and now Tom Savage is gone, and Brandon Whedon's here. But yeah, if you're frustrated that Brandon Whedon didn't see playing time last year, you're not alone. That was a topic on our show. I can understand how Lamont, how you and many others may not have noticed that, because after week six, people kind of just stopped caring about the Texans.
Yeah.
But we bitched about that quite a bit. That why do they know that Tom Savage is bad and they continue to prefer him? It just seemed weird.
And then everybody's, this is his year. This is where he breaks out. No, didn't happen. I think one of Bill O'Brien's biggest weaknesses as a coach is the way he evaluates and manages quarterbacks. And he may be fortunate enough now that he's got a guy that eliminates that weakness. And if that's the case, great. But that even last year, TJ Yates was better than Tom Savage. I mean, they're just I don't understand how you can look at a player like that and have that guy practice every day and say we have a better chance to win with him.
I don't know. How did you go through an entire training camp seeing Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson side by side and say, you know what? Tom's our number one quarterback. Tom's our guy. How's that possible? Mm-hmm. And knowing what we know now, how is it possible? Did something change so drastically between the last week of training camp and week one? I don't believe that. I just think that Bill O'Brien has a stubbornness to him, and his guys are his guys, and Tom Savage was certainly one of his guys.
No question.
And he was unwilling to budge off of that. And so, it hurt the team.
It did, because, well, in the end, Watson got hurt, so it cost him one game, probably. And they probably are losing that game anyway, because the Jaguars were better than they were last year. But it's more every decision he's made on quarterbacks, he winds up changing it. And, you know, from Hoyer to Mallett and back and forth and, you know, Savage and Yates. And I mean, it's just, I just don't think he is very good at evaluating what he has, and he's not very good at once he gets those guys in there, getting the most out of him. So, Foster asked, will the defense be better now that Cornell is calling the plays? I think it has to be. I think there's and listen, Mike Vrabel may turn out to be a pretty good head coach. I know everybody's really high on him. But last year, and they had a lot of injuries, and yes, that is an excuse. But, man, last year that defense was very poorly coordinated.
Yeah.
It was his first time doing it. I think he can get better, but I do think that Romeo calling plays, you're always going to have, he's always going to be a better defensive coordinator than Mike Vrabel was.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to make a huge difference. Plus, he's got, I think he's got better players to work with too. So we'll see. And if, yeah, that's the whole thing. They get those guys back healthy, playing well. The defense is going to look a lot better, even if I'm coordinating it. I'm not really a defensive guy, though.
No, you don't know much about it.
No, I'm an offensive guy.
Okay, man. You're a guru.
Yeah, well,
you're like Bill O'Brien. You're a quarterback guru.
I'm a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah,
like I'll whisper to a quarterback and they get better. Hey, Deshaun, don't pull out your knee. Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, next segment is your chance to do it because we are going to have R.J. Bell at 5:30. So
get in while you can.
Get in while you can. We'll take calls next segment. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We're back on The Blitz. I freaking love that song. Revolution in their minds. The children start to march against the world in which they have to live.
Are you saying Tyler's better with music than Jong?
I'm just saying he's so far so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just play it so that way if I do happen to piss him off, then he forgets all of that.
He's like, oh yeah, I love that song.
Yeah.
Tyler,
Little Children of the Grave, Black Sabbath.
I forgot that he forgot that I blew it earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that I played that Sabbath song.
I know that you sucked for the first hour and 11 minutes of the show, but you came back with that. Good job, man. Nice tactic. I'm on to you now. Man, do you know what the number one story on Culture Map was today?
No idea.
The fact that Oprah Winfrey showed up at some store in River Oaks.
Jeez.
People are really, really weird.
People love Oprah.
Yeah, man. It was like, but that's like the biggest rock star that could come through the city is Oprah Winfrey.
I don't know about that. But
yeah, that's just, I mean, it was insane the traffic they're getting on that story. All right, let's squeeze in a call. Coach Bear, is that what the name is?
Yeah.
Coach Bear.
Yes. Yeah, it's Coach Bear here. How's it going, guys?
It's going sports, Coach.
Yeah, I was just listening to your talk about Bill O'Brien. I just got back in the car. I'm retired after 33 years coaching high school here in the Houston area. I laughed at just the ineptitude of Bill O'Brien. And it was obvious to me he didn't want Deshaun Watson after they drafted him, and that's why he pushed for Savage, because in his mind, he thinks he's that quarterback guru that people label him as. And, you know, my grandmother, she's dead, and she could coach Tom Brady. And that's what he's banking everything on. And he's done nothing. The best thing he's got going for him is that Deshaun Watson was drafted, and two, that other coordinator is gone now, and Romeo Cornell comes back to the defense, because I'm not – wouldn't he fall into the coordinator last year? That, again, because of who he knew, he got the Tennessee Titan job. So I'm excited for the season. I think they'll be better in spite of Bill O'Brien because of Romeo Cornell, because hopefully Deshaun Watson, you know, doesn't break his other knee in practice.
Well, I think one of the things you said is really prevalent is the guy who Bill O'Brien didn't want is the only reason he still has a job here. Like, if we had not seen the magic of Deshaun Watson last year, do you think Bill O'Brien's still hanging around?
No.
Because he would have gone probably 2-14 last year, or maybe 1-15.
Probably. They only won one game with Savage.
Yeah. So let's say they go 1-15 last year. You can't sign that guy to an extension.
No.
Well, a 1-15, you can't do that. So it is ironic that Deshaun Watson is literally the only reason Bill O'Brien still works here, and Bill O'Brien never wanted him. or at least seemingly preferred Tom Savage to him. Not seemingly, did prefer Tom Savage to him. Yeah.
I think part of, and good call, I think part of what he's saying too is that some coaches, they want to just prove that, you know, that they know more than everybody else and that they can get the most out of anybody. And the truth is, your players make you. And if you have great players, your job as a coach is to put guys in the best position to succeed. It's that simple. And we see it all the time with coaches that try to make a quarterback fit a certain way. I think the Titans tried to make Mariota fit into a certain system for the last couple of years, that rather than, hey, let's adjust to this guy's abilities. And to me, the best coaches do that. And that's why Bill Belichick could win with Tom Brady or he could win with Brisket, and they're two different players.
Yep.
And that's the thing. You adjust to what your guys can do rather than, let's fit this guy into my system.
Yeah.
713 says Jeff Sessions is here too. Bigger than Oprah? LOL. I don't think anybody's bigger than Oprah.
Like, who would be a bigger deal if they came?
Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there is one bigger than Oprah right now.
LeBron?
No, because, like, LeBron is big. He's big amongst sports people, obviously. But I think Oprah's a bigger star than...
Bieber?
No. I mean, like, maybe...
I'm just trying to think who would cause more of an uproar than Oprah did, considering the response to all that.
Beyonce?
Yeah, but she's here.
What about The Rock?
He's pretty big.
Who do you think is more famous, Tyler, The Rock or Oprah?
But I would say The Rock.
Right now, The Rock's
supposedly
more famous.
Supposedly, he's like the number one actor in China right now.
Damn.
And he has been for the past like 15 years, yeah.
Somebody says the Pope. I don't know.
I bet the Pope would be.
Pope would be a big draw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Bigger than Oprah? No, I think that's about what you got. I don't think there's many more. So.
Hey, can we get in some Hollywood news?
Sure.
Apparently. We know Daniel Craig wants out of
007. I saw this yesterday. This was almost in Hoffman on Hollywood yesterday.
I'm really curious, but it looks like Idris Elba may be the next Bond.
I think it's a good choice.
I think it's a great choice. And when it first came out, there were a bunch of people who were pissed because, you can't have a black Bond. It's like, that dude is as English as they come, and he's as suave as they come. He's like the perfect Bond. I mean, he would be a more, like, his character in Luther was a smarter Bond is what he was. Because he outsmarted everybody.
I mean, the problem will be there will always be rednecks who... But, I mean, do you really care if those guys are watching your James Bond movie?
No.
I mean, I don't think hillbillies are, like, lining up and making big impact on James Bond at the box office. So, it's like Star Wars. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Remember how John was saying at, like, the Star Wars conventions, there's always, like, this really... And on message boards, there's a really... heavy overtone of racism and sexism. I'm sure it'd be that same way with James Bond. And I'm like, everyone seems to think that like Europe is so much more cultured than us.
Oh God, no.
But those dudes are as racist as anybody, if not more. So that's a British entity, James Bond. That's their guy. So that's like how we treat Iron Man around here. That's what they look at as James Bond. So. I'm sure there would be backlash. I'm sure. I guess he's more like James Bond would be more like our Batman, since there's been multiple guys play both.
Yeah.
Whereas there's been one Iron Man.
I think he would be the best Bond ever, in my opinion.
Ooh.
And I know that's a strong statement.
I'll have to see a movie before I can say that.
Well, I think he's the most accomplished actor of any of those guys going into it. Connery wasn't that big.
He wasn't
at the time.
That big. No.
And I mean Daniel Craig. Isn't on Idris Elba's level as far as what all he's done.
Yeah, maybe not.
So.
I actually like Daniel Craig, though.
Oh, I do, too. I wish he would
stick. I think he's very good.
I wish he would stick with it. I think he's been the best Bond.
I think, like, he's not he doesn't look the same as the other Bonds, and I know that
because they were all pretty,
and he was like more rugged.
Yeah,
which I feel like James Bond would be kind of rugged.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
that. But still suave though, but in a different way. I think he's played the character very well.
Yeah, like I think he's good. I think they should keep him, but yeah, I think Idris Elba would be good.
I'd like to see it because he's one of my favorite actors, and I, as I've said many times, I think Luther is one of the best shows that I've ever seen, and he was fantastic in that. And I think that would be this would be a nice natural step.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. The only thing I wish he had a better character in the Thor series is they really didn't use him much.
No,
I mean he was in it, but it wasn't like he was almost an afterthought. It was almost kind of like Martin Freeman in Black Panther.
Yeah.
He was there, and you got this great actor. I would have liked to have seen more.
I wonder if they'll do it. I hope they do. But it wouldn't shock me if they don't. It wouldn't shock me if they're just like, yeah, it's not worth the headache.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
What's the biggest movie he's been like the star of, though?
That's what I was just looking at. The Pacific Rim was pretty big,
but he wasn't the star of that.
Yeah, he was one of the main guys in that. Let's see,
I mean, he was in The Wire too.
I thought the
two or three seasons.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought the guy from Sons of Anarchy was the main guy in Pacific Rim.
In the first one. Yeah, they were kind of like co-leads.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
I've never seen the movie.
Well, in the second one, John Boyega is supposedly his son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dark Tower, but that wasn't very good.
That was bad.
He was pretty good in Molly's Game, but he wasn't the main person.
I've never heard of that movie.
That's a poker movie. We've talked about it on air.
Oh, you talked about it. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I know you didn't. But I think Luther's his most famous role.
Yeah.
So, and The Wire, too. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. But, I mean, now you're talking, that's pretty good while back.
Yeah. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. It's time for the gambling guru of the universe, the one and only R.J. Bell. You can follow him on Twitter at R.J. in Vegas. Check him out on pregame.com, one of the most awesome websites in the history of the known universe, and a guy who would be a really good James Bond himself, I think, R.J. Bell.
R.J., he would be a horrible James Bond.
I think the nemesis better.
That's a better role for you, I agree.
I think so. I could fake it the other way.
Or you could
be. But I'd rather just be myself.
You could be, if they ever do a gay James Bond, you could be his love interest.
Oh, so I'd be like Pussy Galore.
Yeah.
But just
a man. Or if they do a lady James Bond.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, if they do a lady James Bond at some point, then you can be her love interest.
But in the gay one, I could say not that there's anything wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that, but...
Exactly.
Yeah, they probably will never make James Bond gay, but there was a time when they thought there'd never be a black James Bond, and yet here we are.
So you guys are in studio, right?
We are, finally.
Boy, it sounds so much better.
Oh,
I hope you guys are getting paid. I hope you're getting paid a lot for those spots, you know, being on the road.
Fred gets paid a lot. I don't.
The listeners suffer for it. Let's be clear.
I concur. And no one wants to hear it from me, though.
But you know what's funny? Even the elite radio guys, very few seem to really care about the sound. Like, obviously, everyone wants it to be fine. Like, no one wants their listeners to deal with bad sound. But I'll give you an example. Like in ESPN LA, I've done that hit actually the longest of any, 9 years with Mason in Ireland. You know, John Ireland is the radio voice of the Lakers. I mean, he's right on the road, you know, whatever, 60, 70 days a year, you know, for those 42 road games. And he's not on ISDN even. He's on, you know, one of these new VOIPs or whatever. And, I mean, it does not sound as good as me here on ISDN even. And, obviously, in the studio is even better. And they're all just fine with it. And I don't blame John Ireland. I'm just saying it's just in the radio business, people don't seem to care all that much. And, to me, you look at the king of radio, Howard Stern, there's, like, hundreds of threads on the internet about his stack and chain, however you want to say it, with the processors he's using. He's got like a $6,000 mic. And yeah, we can say it's he's got one of those. I think it's called Neumann's. It's an old Neumann mic. Yeah, and we could say, oh, it's a coincidence. The most successful radio guy ever really cares about his sound. But I'm not sure that there is a coincidence.
Well, the problem is we as radio guys, as on-air guys, can care about it. But then we're not the guys who are writing checks around here. So,
but I thought Fred was the most powerful guy at the station.
Fred is the second most powerful guy at the station. But the problem is when Fred is in the management meetings, he tells them, oh, AJ's just being a baby. He doesn't need any of that stuff.
Oh.
So he turns against me when he goes into management meetings.
So he has to change his hat.
Yeah, yeah.
He Fred puts is on a man, his executive hat.
He's a man of many hats.
He's thinking, why is RJ saying this stuff? Hey, I didn't know it was going to cause you trouble, Fred. Sorry about that.
No, no, not a problem. I frankly prefer being in studio, but they do pay a lot of money for places pay a lot of money to have us out there. So money is how we survive. So
it's true. You know what I'm going to do, though? There's actually a $3,000 unit, so it's not that expensive, that actually allows you. I know you guys turn the mics off when I'm talking if you're on the road. And it's done manually by some, but then if there's any back and forth, it's a struggle. But there's something called a Dugan. You should check it out. Dugan. It's like $3,000, and it will actually control your. It's able to sense if someone's actually talking into the mic. It's better than a noise gate, and it will actually turn the mics on and off automatically. So I think it would actually help on the road with the background noise. Now though, Fred, you got to put your executive hat on and spend $3,000.
Well, then I have to fire somebody to spend the $3,000. So.
Yeah,
but I have some people in mind, so we can make that work.
Yeah. That's me, RJ. You'll be coming on here with just Fred after that.
Hey, RJ, I wanted to ask you because I know you're into playing these preseason games and have a pretty good reasoning behind it. I'm trying to get on board. I almost punched a ticket on one last night, and I'm glad I didn't because I would have been wrong. But what are the factors? Let's tell people who are wanting to bet on these preseason games. What factors to look at?
I think there's four big ones. And it's probably worth going, you know, finishing the segment and going through these, you know, relatively in detail. Number one is the coach's general approach. And longtime fans of the NFL, remember Bill Parcells. He never wanted to lose a game. He had an amazing record in the preseason. Tony Dungy was the opposite. It almost seemed like he took pride in losing games in the preseason for the Colts, especially with Manning. Now, if it's that obvious, the spread is going to account for it, right? Parcells, his lines were inflated and Dungy's were depressed, but I don't think the market adjusts enough for the macro coaching factors. And you can, you know, it's not that hard to find ATS records and straight up records for the active coaches in the preseason. And, you know, I think if you look at it, it matters more than the market thinks. That's one. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. You guys relax. Two is game by game motivation. And I'll give you a perfect example. The thing a coach wants the least is to go 0-4 in the preseason.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Yeah, because what happens is that's the lead story the whole week before the first game, and then it feels like there's extra pressure. Now you lose the first game, and oh my gosh. But if you go 1-3 in the preseason and lose the first game, people, it's just not the narrative that there's a big problem. Now, you might say, okay, well, when does that matter? I think it matters most in game two and game four. Game two, because in game three is the dress rehearsal. It's the most like the regular season, and thus being extra motivated doesn't help much because every team is pretty motivated.
Right.
That's the one game you kind of handicap more like a regular season game, game three. Game four, as you guys know very well, you're not hardly having any starters play, if any. It's usually going to be those 30 guys, the 15 that will make the team and the 15 that won't. You know, those right down the middle, the borderline cases, right? Okay. Well, how extra, you know, it's hard to be extra motivated there. I can see it, but, you know, now you're balancing. I really want to see this DN because I got to choose between this rookie and this seventh-year guy. Are you going to put a starter in at DN? You might game plan a little differently not to go on four. So I think it still matters the fourth game, but not as much as the second. So the second is, in a weird way, your last chance to really say, if we decide to play our starters a little bit more and game plan a little bit more and be less vanilla, we can make a real difference without much consequence. Game three, you can't really make much of a difference because everyone's playing fairly hard. And game four, if you do try to win, put more effort into the scoreboard, you probably hurt your ability to assess talent. So what do? You look for those 0-1 teams against the 1-0 teams. Because the 1-0s feel like they're in great shape. Even if they lose out, hey, they're 1-3, no big deal. So in general, the game-by-game stuff, I think week two is the most important. Look to play 0-1s versus 1-0s. It's not a blind bet, but boy, it's a real strong lean to start the handicap. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I think, I never really thought of it as you want to get that one out of the way. And once you do, then it may not matter. But then now I want to go and play next week's games. You've got me convinced.
Well, Lee, hey, you can pick a few and then pick up one amongst that universe. That's what I love to do. I love to have a system that will give me 3 or 4 games in a week, and I can pick 1 or 2. And now I not only have the system, but I'm getting to refine it and winnow it down. All right, factor 3 of 4, QB rotation. Now, we all know about, okay, if the starter's going to play more, it's better. All right, I agree with that. But let's look quarterback especially. And if they play the quarterback, they usually are going to play
starters
the O-line too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a way, he's the emblematic, I think, of what the offense is going to do in general. I don't know. Defense, I don't think it matters as much. So if you have the mindset to play the starter quarterback three quarters, let's say, in a game, you're probably got a mindset to play the defense a lot too, right? Because you want to, for whatever reason, you want to play your starters a lot. But here's the thing about after your starter. It's not just how good the backups are. It's two other factors. How mature they are, or experienced is probably the better word, and how mobile they are. And they both are for the same reason, those factors. It's very hard with backups to run an NFL offense really well, even against non-starters on defense, because there's so much precision. There's so much checking off at the line. All the things that, quite frankly, there's a reason there's only about, 15 people in the world that can do it, because even half the starters in the NFL struggle. So the idea you're going to have a second-string guy that can do it, man, that's tough. So what happens? A Brian Hoyer, to me, is so much better than, let's say, the second quarterback being a number one pick or a first-round pick in the draft this year. Because long-term, that number one first-round pick has a higher ceiling, but not in his first preseason. And thus, a Hoyer, an experienced backup, is going to be able to run the system a lot better. Number two, if you're not experienced, and these are usually mutually exclusive, you want a very mobile quarterback. Because if you do, it's a busted play with a non-mobile guy. Okay, it's busted. With a mobile guy, it only takes breaking one 70-yard run. to make the difference. So it's almost like, remember back, this is going way back. I was like, what, I don't know, 15 years old, when there was that big strike season in the 80s and Bill Parcells came out and was running the option. Right? I don't know if you guys remember that, because he said, I can teach these guys the option. I can't teach them the West Coast offense. So just the idea of understanding, given the givens, a certain quarterback is better. I think the given the complexity in the NFL, a mobile quarterback is better. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's funny because last night was a pretty good example with the Texans having two veteran guys. They had Brandon Whedon come in and play pretty well for a few series. And then Joe Webb is exactly what you're talking about. Mobile quarterback, took off on a long run. I think he had like 40 yards rushing. And, you know, lo and behold, they win the game. More importantly, cover. So I think there's a lot to that.
I didn't even notice all that, but it's actually especially appropriate for Houston. Excellent. Last thing, scheduling. And usually it's about time off. Sometimes teams will just play a game on Monday. Like, there's one Monday night game this year, and then I think that same team plays like on Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. You know they're just giving up on that. That game where they have hardly any rest, they're going to play that like a true exhibition, like a scrimmage. And you can find spots where it's pretty obvious the team's just not going to worry about the scoreboard at all. And it's going to be about time off mostly and scheduling. That's the fourth big factor.
Yeah, I like that. I think I'm gonna dive in next week now.
Uh oh.
I think you've got
That's
me
my
convinced.
Job.
Yeah.
That's my job. The first one's free, Freddie. First one's free. Hey, what last thing, if you don't mind. I actually was looking at the MVP odds. And one of the concepts we've been talking about a lot on our podcast, it's the Dream Preview. I know you guys, I think, listen sometimes, is if you go to any podcast player and search for RJ Bell, you get it for free and subscribe, and you get it immediately. And we did about 2 hours this week. I mean, you would think we wouldn't necessarily the first week of August, but we tend to. And I do a little talking, I can't lie. And a little bit. And here's the thing that we've been talking about a lot, is how people just think, is a team good or is a team bad? But based on what you're betting, it's not really so much are they good or bad. It's what is the amount of variance that matters for the result you want. So let me give you an example. Houston to win the Super Bowl, the odds right now are 22-1. The over-under win total for regular season wins for Houston is, let's see here. We got the Texans at 8.5.
Yeah.
8.5. Now, I would so much, if you gave me those two bets, and you have to bet $100, I'm giving you a $100 free roll, but you got to bet one of the two. Which ones do you guys bet? Because there's one answer that is clearly better. Which ones do you guys bet of the two?
I'm going to take the Super Bowl odds.
Why?
Because I feel like if they're going to go over 8.5 games, then they're going to be in the playoffs. And if they're in the playoffs in the AFC, and that means that their quarterback is upright, then I think that would be the better bet at that value.
I mean, isn't that kind of what we're talking about with baseball? If you make it to the playoffs, that's half the battle. And if they can win, if they go over 8.5, they're, I don't want to say they're guaranteed to be in the playoffs, but there's a good possibility.
I think there's some truth to that, but I think that could apply to any team like that's in that 22-1 range. I think it does a little bit, like you said, but I also think it's the fact, and Fred said it, I think that Houston has probably the highest variance of any team in the NFL, whereas I could see them going 13 and you guys going 13-3. And I could really honestly see you go 4-12.
Well, we talked about this the other day, and we said that we think there's two teams that have that massive amount of variance, and they're both AFC South teams, because we think the Colts are kind of the same thing. If
you're questioning Luck's health, yeah, I think you're right.
If the old Andrew Luck shows up all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if the team around him is any good, because the team around him was never any good, and he was able to make them an AFC championship game team. So I think the Colts and the Texans, more than anybody, their fate relies on one guy.
I agree. And to me, identifying those high variance teams means, okay, you don't bet something like an over-under, because if they really everything does fall right, well, they win 13 games, but you still only get paid the same amount. and it's very easy. They could, you know, one injury and they are a big underdog to win 9 games. But you know what's a high variance play I like even more than the Super Bowl? You can actually get right now Deshaun Watson to win the MVP at 23-1. Now think about that a second. Is I think Deshaun Watson winning the MVP is much more likely than Texans winning the Super Bowl. And you're getting this pretty, or you actually had a slightly better payoff on the MVP. And because the narrative was, oh, he's one of the great young stars we've seen in the last 10 years, and he was cut down by a freak injury. If he has a full season playing even 85% of what he played last year statistically, I'm not talking about his health, he wins the MVP probably.
Well, part of why I would lean against making that play is because we've been talking about the possibility that Bill O'Brien makes the playbook a little bit more conservative, particularly early in the season, to try to ensure that he doesn't get hurt. So maybe you won't see Deshaun, you know, rolling out and doing the crazy things you saw him do in those first 6 games of last year, at least early on.
Yeah, but if a guy's got those instincts, he's going to do them. I mean, we've seen him every. You don't think he's been told his whole career, at least from college on, don't run it, you know, don't do that, don't do this. You know, I'm not sure, you know, sometimes it's like a wild horse. You just can't tame him. So, but I hear you. I just feel like that it's an interesting bet, but I also think it's instructive that it's not so much is Deshaun Watson good or not. It's if Deshaun Watson has a top 10% season for him, how high is that ceiling? That is the MVP bet. It's not over under, you know, 3,600 yards, which that's more like a win total. This is if he's top 10% for him, what's the consequence? And just like a title bet is, if the Patriots are top 10% for them, they win the title. So you want to look to title bets. A team like, let me give you an example. I look at a team like the Panthers, and I think to myself, I don't see a scenario they win the Super Bowl. But, you know, you could, you know, maybe the Chiefs are a better example of this. The Chiefs are 8.5, same as the Texans. I would much rather have the Texans to win the Super Bowl. But I would much rather have the Chiefs to win over 8.5. Because Andy Reid, they're not as quarterback dependent. Some teams are more consistent. Some teams have higher ceilings. The team with a higher ceiling, you look to play to win the title if you like them. The team that's more consistent, you look to play the season win total.
Well, see, I disagree with you because, and for me, if I look at the Chiefs over 8.5, if the Chiefs went over 8.5 games, I could see them. It's my guess that they would win the division because that division, there isn't one team in that division that jumps out as this is the team to beat. Whereas the Texans could win 9 games and the Jags could win 11 or 12. And, you know, it's if they do make the playoffs, it's a tougher road. So I tend to think that, at least in that instance, I might prefer the Texans because I might prefer the Chiefs more because the Chiefs getting over 8.5 wins also gets them into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I guess the question is,
because do you feel like the Broncos, the Raiders, or the Chargers are locks to win more games than the Chiefs?
Well, certainly not. Though, I mean, it is interesting. The Chargers are favored to win the division.
Okay.
So right now, Chargers are +150, Chiefs are +250. Raiders 4-1, Broncos 5-1 to win the division. Now in the South, Jags 2-1, Texans 2-1, Titans 3-1, Colts 6-1.
Okay, because feel like even if the Texans do have a really good year, I still feel like they still might be second place in the AFC South because I just think the Jaguars are better than them.
And you know, listen, thinking through the path from the regular season to the playoffs and then from the playoffs to the title is very savvy, AJ. I think you're right to do it. I do think in the NFL, it doesn't matter as much. I mean, we've seen if a team gets hot, I mean, we've seen other than the Patriots, right, who are always winning their division. It feels like if you look at the non-Patriot champions the last 10 years, more of them, I would make the case, I'm just going by memory, didn't even win their division or certainly didn't have a bye.
Yeah.
right? So there's been, I mean, those teams get hot. You know, Aaron Rodgers was a good example. Steelers in 2005. I mean, we got multiple examples of that. So I don't worry. I think if a team's playing well and they're hot, I'm not as worried about that. But I hear you. But again, who's, I tell you, I'm starting to get skeptical about the Jags. Very last thing is, because, you know, Colin Cowherd's talking about this. I think it's a good point. They played against Houston both times without Watson, if I'm remembering it correctly. And they played against the Colts without Luck, obviously. And they were 0-2 against the Titans. So now, even if you just assume Houston gets one more win and the Jags, or I'm sorry, and the other team gets one more win. I'm having a mental block Colts. Right now. Colts. The Colts. Yeah. I mean, obviously at home, Andrew Luck's going to be favored, you would think, over the Jags, especially if he's playing well. All of a sudden, now the Jags have two less wins, and they don't even make the playoffs. Now, I think that's a little specious because they didn't play super hard the last 2 weeks of the year, and they could have won some more games, perhaps. But I still think, man, Blake Bortles, if he plays below average, it's hard to imagine, again, this team, you know, the Jags being so dominant, especially with the targeting now and the helmet hitting. It's going to be hard for any defense to be all that good. And to me, that's one of the things to really watch in the regular season is going to be, or at the beginning of the regular season, is how any defense, are they able to play really aggressively and well with the new rules?
All right, that's RJ Bell. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Great stuff, RJ, as always. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.